Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Shoot the Shot, an NBA and variety show. It is October 15th, 2021. Jonathan Osborne here. As always, I am joined by my co-host, the illustrious Luke Sylvia.
Luke,
what's going on, man? How are you?
Illustrious.
Don't ask me. I don't even know what that word really means, but I know it's a good adjective to bestow upon a person.
I guess. I mean, yeah, it means well
like
known.
Dynamism.
You know? Yeah, dynamism. Dynamism.
That's an inside joke. You guys don't need to know about that, but yeah,
that's just
an inside joke here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we have our jokes. Everything's good, man. I am a bachelor here for a few days. Lauren and Harper are in Florida, so they're hanging out with some friends at the beach, and then they're hanging out with some family. So
Very nice.
I'm just kind of hanging out, working, coming home, and doing whatever.
Bachelor life as a dad, I mean, you don't really have bachelor life. You have like a couple of days, a few hours. Like last Friday, I had about 4 hours, you know, with when you're a dad, you know, married with kids. Like your bachelor time is any time that you either don't have to watch kids or your wife's not around. Like you just have time really to yourself, which becomes very rare after you become a dad. And I had about 4 hours last Friday. It was like 4:07. Wife and kids left the house, went right to the fridge, cracked a beer. Didn't care that it was only 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Just sat down, played video games for, you know, a few hours, watched some anime, some Naruto, which I've gotten more into. Let's talk about Naruto for a second, Luke, because I know you started to get into it, and then like you kind of stopped.
Yeah.
You haven't watched it in a while. Where did you leave off? How far into Naruto did you get?
End of season 2 or something like that. They had just finished the test basically, or I should say maybe it wasn't the end of season 2, it was like they finished the that preliminary round where they all had to go one-on-one like and see
right.
who made it to that final.
Got to experience like Rock Lee and Gaara.
And
you stopped after that.
How
what life get in the way, you lost interest?
I
don't understand.
I'm really ADD, so like if I get off something, I'm off it for a while. So like Xbox, I haven't played in over a month. Netflix, I'm pretty much, you know, we just finished Squid Game, and and now I'm finishing Money Heist right now. I don't know if you've seen that, but I'm doing those shows right now, and I'll get back into it, but for now, I'm away.
Oh, Squid Game, now that you finished it, we've talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
What's your overall analysis, like 1 through 10? What are we looking at with Squid Game? Does it live up to the hype or maybe not?
I think it was like a 8.5 or 9 for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
Without spoilers, I think it was really well done, especially for a show that you either have to watch it with, you know, dubbed over in English or subtitles.
You have to watch it with subtitles. You have to watch it with subtitles.
Yeah, I can't do the mouse being off. That's my biggest thing. So, we just finished it last night. Lauren was heading to Florida. Like I said, she's there now. And I was like, we got 2 episodes left. We're knocking them out tonight.
One of these times, Lauren, you know, takes a trip to Florida. Like, you know, by all means, grab Luke, you know, bring him with you. You know,
yeah.
We'd like to see it. We'd like to see
it. She doesn't
Luke
let me out of the house, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, good-looking guy. She doesn't, you know, want the ladies all over you. You know,
what I'm saying? You're onto something. So
yeah, exactly. So, hey, so if Squid Game is an 8.5/9, like what do you have Breaking Bad? Because I know that's your favorite show of all time.
0.8.
Breaking Bad's a 9.8?
Yeah.
What's a 10?
I don't know, but it's
come
just,
on.
It's gonna. It That's is the ridiculous. Closest to a 10. I don't.
Then
I'm just,
say it's a 10. It's okay to say it's a 10.
It is the
I
best show
Breaking
I've
Bad's
ever seen. So, sure, we can give it a 10.
That you're one of those guys where you like you're not okay with giving something a 10 unless every single aspect of it is perfect.
Well, maybe, but I mean, yeah.
So Breaking Bad to you isn't a full point better than Squid Game. You're gonna have to think about this a little bit. I feel like
yeah,
we'll
my
come back to this
in
a later date. It might be. I think your rating system is like 2K's rating system. I feel like.
Okay, that's a little disrespectful. Yeah.
All right, you're right. All right, let's talk some NBA, Luke, because the preseason is pretty much wrapped up. We're really just like six days I think away for 5 days, something like that. I don't know. Depending on when you guys are listening to this, it's coming up pretty soon, like
right.
The next 4 or 5 days, the next week. Preseason's over. Something that I didn't realize, it was brought to my attention really this morning, that Giannis has, like, honestly, like, transformed his jump shot.
Yeah.
I know that you've taken a look at this. I don't know how many of our listeners out there have seen this, but, like, the form is much more compact. It's much smooth. It actually looks like a jump shot now
right.
and not like a Greek god just catapulting the ball off of Mount Olympus, you know, like Giannis tends to look like. The jump shot legitimately looks good. Whether or not it's going to go in, like last night, I think he hit like 5 of 8 jump shots in the Bucks preseason game. That's not going to happen every single night. But even if the numbers, like he doesn't make this huge statistical improvement, I think with more reps, we are going to see Giannis start to shoot the ball at least a little bit better. What were your thoughts when you saw the new form?
Smooth, like you said. I mean, it didn't seem so weird. It didn't start, I don't know. I mean, he would start low and end up real high, and like now his shot form is just a lot smoother, like you said. So I'm interested to see. Ben Simmons, I hope you're in the corner over there taking notes, bud, because Giannis is someone who has transformed his shot or is at least working on it. I mean, we've seen proof of it, right? I mean, Giannis shoots 3.5 attempts last year, 4.7 the year before that. Both those years, he didn't shoot below 30. For a guy like him who's so dominant in the paint, his three-point percentage doesn't have to be incredible. I mean, doing everything he did and, he's winning championships now and stuff. Like, I mean, if Giannis can shoot even 33%, if he can see an uptick of 3% this year, I mean, that's going to help them immensely as a team when they get to the playoffs and late game. If you can trust that Giannis is going to hit a three to win the game instead of having to rely on somebody else like Chris Middleton, Middleton's a great option. But, I mean, Giannis, if you want to be able to have the ball in his hands no matter what the situation is, if you need a three, you need a two, whatever it is.
So I forget what round it was of the playoffs. I think it might have been the Eastern Conference Finals or it may have even been the NBA Finals. But there was a stat that at one point last year, the Bucks were 18-0 in games where Giannis did not attempt a single three-pointer. Mm. And in my mind, like weird kind of abstract stats like that, you're like, okay, that has really just got to be a coincidence, right? Me, if I do anything 18 times in a row and I get the same results, if I'm looking for that result, I'm just going to continue to do that. So in some of these games where Giannis was like almost not being forced but was settling for three-pointers, in my mind, I'm just like, bro, you literally have not lost a game this season when you decided, you know what, I'm not going to take a three. So I just would have sworn them off altogether if I were him. But Giannis is right now on track. Like adding the championship, the finals MVP, all of that does a lot for one's legacy. But Giannis was already on track to be one of the all-time greats. If this guy legitimately develops a jump shot that goes in at a league average rate, if it's 33, 34, if he gets to like 35, 36%, he's legitimately going to be a problem. Because it's great, obviously, you and I think that LeBron James is arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. Like Giannis at times I think is even more physically imposing than LeBron was in his prime just because of like the length and how, within two steps, he's from half court and he's at the rim, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If he's able to shoot near the level of LeBron, you know, LeBron's not a sharp shooter, but has become much better of a three-point shooter over the years. Man, Giannis, like, he is really set to just, like, take over the league for years to come.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why if Giannis's jump shot does turn around like it looks like it is right now, no reason that they can't give the Nets a run for their money when it comes, you know, playoff time, especially if Kyrie Irving is not there.
Which it does not look like he will be. We can talk about that just, you know, kind of briefly here. Kyrie on Instagram Live last night basically saying, like, don't believe what you're hearing. I'm not retiring. I'm not doing all these things. You know, gave his reasons for not getting vaccinated, but he seems perfectly content with riding this out. You know, the Nets have basically said, hey, we're not allowing any, you know, part-time employees here. You know, right. We're running a professional basketball team. If you're not here all the time, you're just not going to be here.
Yeah, I mean, and good for them, right? I mean, they could have easily said, you know what? This is a weird circumstance, right? Let's have you play on the road against the teams that will allow you to play, you know, not the big market teams that are basically having these, you know, mandates, essentially. And we just kind of ride with it. And, you know, your choice is your choice, and that's it. I mean, you take the pay cuts for home games and whatever. But good on them for just saying, like, no, it's you're all in or you're not at all. So I think this is two titans clashing between the Brooklyn Nets organization and Kyrie Irving. I just don't know. I mean, I don't think Kyrie budges. I know the Nets aren't going to budge. They're trying to make a point. I don't know what this comes to. If he says he's not retiring, then he must get traded.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Luke, do you think it's at the point now, you know, we saw, you know, obviously, basically, you know, the year after the Cavs won the championship in 2016, you know, they lose to the Warriors with KD the next year, and then Kyrie wants out. So we've seen him leave the Cavs, you know, he left the Celtics, you know, in a, you know, pretty sour fashion. Now, you know, the issues that we're seeing in Brooklyn, like, at some point, like, there's a common denominator, and I've been saying this for a long time. I feel like a lot of people do feel this way. Now, we've had conversations about, you know, vaccination and whether that not right. that should be your choice. If you want to hear that stuff, you can listen to our previous episodes. But at some point, like, it really just seems like this guy is going to cause problems everywhere that he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most logical thing at this point is for the Nets to move on from Kyrie. I think it's honestly best for both parties.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Nets, you know, they have all this, whether or not they're paying Kyrie, he's still taking up salary cap space. And he obviously wants to play basketball. He wants to be paid. And if he does want to play without getting vaccinated, it sounds like he's going to have to do it elsewhere. So the next guy that we were set to talk about is Ben Simmons. And I mentioned this, I think we talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But again, like that trade, Ben Simmons for Kyrie, the fact that the Nets are coming out and just flat out saying like, no, this is not going to happen. We're not going to allow this guy to play. To me, it even makes a lot more sense now to make that deal particularly.
Yeah, and who knows, you know, ultimately what's going to come of all this. It's really hard to tell. It's uncharted territory. And, you know, when it comes to Kyrie, I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, don't get mad at Kyrie. It's his choice about the vaccine. It's like, no, it's not the vaccine that's driving me crazy. It is not anything to do with that. It's just that there is always something. Like, there is just always something that this dude has a problem with more than everybody else, right? It bothers him more than anybody else, no matter what it is. And it's just like, it just feels like he's very entitled. He's never going to budge. If you're going to request a trade, request a trade. Like, if you're not going to anticipate, like, honor what your organization is saying, right? I mean, they're going by state. Like, they just honor what they're saying and just say, you're right. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to budge. You're not going to budge. Get me out of here, respectfully. Yeah. But this is just weird, man. And every time Kyrie talks, it's all mellow and like, you know, he comes across as sounding like he knows what he's talking about. And I'm just like, man, shut up, dude. Like, you talk so much when you talk. And it's just like, it is always, like I said, it is always something with Kyrie Irving. Always.
Kind of this conversation apart, I think when like the point like Kyrie really lost me for good was when he shows up to Boston to play there the first time, and he's got the sage and he's like going around like trying to cleanse the arena.
That's weird,
and then
dude.
Like a few times later they play in Boston and he's stomping on the logo in center court.
Yeah.
Like, bro, stop. What if you're trying to cleanse any toxicity, start with you first and just kind of work your way out from there. But I like watching Kyrie play basketball when he's healthy. It's kind of hard not to be entertained by the way that he plays basketball. But at this time, like you said, respectfully, it's just in both parties' best interest to part ways. Like, it seems like he wants to be in Brooklyn. Obviously, he wouldn't have signed there if he didn't want to be in Brooklyn. He wants to be close to his, you know, hometown in New Jersey. But, bro, they're not going to let you play. If you're not getting the vaccine, just go in and be like, yo, I want to get out of here. Get me out of here. And they'll find a way to do it. I even made the joke last night to you that if he really wants out, what would really be fun is just trade Kyrie for Russell Westbrook. Get Kyrie back with LeBron James. It'll be fun to watch those guys in LA. And then it would be amazing to see all the Oklahoma City fans just completely melt down when the Brooklyn Nets win a championship with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. Be absolutely fantastic.
The narrative is funny.
I would love that.
The narrative really is funny. But remember, if Kyrie goes to LA, then he won't be on a team with someone who can hit that last second shot. Remember?
Oh, that's true. At least in his opinion, that's what Kyrie has said. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, and which we all
know. I mean,
know
he's
to
got
be,
Carmelo Anthony. So,
right.
You know, at least he's got Melo.
I don't know if there's anybody else there that can hit a last second shot. Yeah, maybe not, I mean, one of the most clutch players in NBA history.
I mean, it depends who you ask, Luke. I mean, there is a guy who lives in L.A. who happens to play for a team that wears purple and gold,
right,
who has a better, you know, he's hit more postseason game winners basically than anybody in history. So,
yeah.
But that guy isn't all that clutch, according to Kyrie. But this isn't going to be like a LeBron, you know, slurp fest or whatever. Like, we're not about to do that whole thing.
It can be.
But moving on, let's talk about Ben Simmons, Luke. Let's talk about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons basically told the 76ers to F off. I don't want anything to do with you guys. Delete my number, trade me, do whatever you have to do. And then once he realized that the paychecks weren't coming in, just snuck his way to Philadelphia and is just knocking on the door there like, hey, guys, I'm here to take my COVID test. What's going on? Didn't tell anybody from the organization that he was going to show up. They found out he was coming to Philly when he showed up to the facility, Luke. What do you think of this?
Yeah. So you got Simmons' camp that is probably still urging them like, hey, make a trade. We're here so we don't lose money. And that was the biggest, that was the thing. I was listening to the Pick a Side podcast, a clip of theirs they put on YouTube like last week or something, but they were just talking about like, there is no way Ben Simmons people aren't, you know, whispering in his ear like, hey, you got to go get your money. Like, you can't do this. This is not a good look. And he shows up, right? And I'm sure that their his camp is still urging a trade. I mean, there's, because
it doesn't sound like he's going to play. Like, it doesn't.
No, he showed up. And can you imagine if, like, opening night, like, he actually, like, suits up, but he doesn't even, like, play a minute? I mean, they put him out in garbage time.
No, they wouldn't dare do that. I could see him, like, showing up and just sitting on the bench in, like, street clothes. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea at this point. Like, regardless of what he does with his teammates, like Danny Green said, like, we're not asking you to come in and shoot jump shots. We're asking you to come in and do your job. Just right. Apologize, and we're good. That might be fine with the teammates, the guys on the team. Yeah. It's not going to fly with Philadelphia fans.
No.
He rolls out there. You know, I don't know at this point if it would even be opening night. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. But 5-10 games, he gets rolled out there in Philadelphia to the starting lineup. He's 100% getting booed. He's getting booed every single time he touches the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to get booed and, I don't know, hot dogs thrown at him when he's walking through the tunnel back to the locker room. Like, it is just, it's not going to be like an amiable reunion in Philadelphia for, you know, for Ben Simmons and the Philadelphians. What are Philadelphiaites? I don't know what the heck you call
them. I don't know that they're ites. I don't know what that is, but.
Philadelphia Johns. I don't know what you call them there.
Philadelphians. I think we're good there.
Philadelphians.
Philadelphians, not Dalphians.
Philadelphians. You're right. Philadelphia. That's my northeastern accent coming out. Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Mm.
So yeah, I don't see that going well, but I think it's hilarious that they just had no idea that he was showing up until he showed up. Still fully expect them to, you know, come to some type of agreement and get him moved at some point, but I'm pretty interested to see if he's actually going to play. I don't think he will, but I could be wrong. But that,
if it's all about not losing money, then he might have to. I don't know.
I don't think it would be as bad, but it would be like, I don't know, not going to be like Kevin Durant, you know, returning to Oklahoma City, or like LeBron returning to Cleveland with the Heat where they're throwing batteries. But I don't know. There might be some popcorn thrown. There might be.
Philadelphia fans, they're crazy. I don't know. We'll see.
So, Luke, the Magic, the team that you and I, you know, root for, you know, pretty hard. Yeah. They had their last preseason game last night against the Boston Celtics. There are some notable guys out for the Celtics, like Al Horford and Jaylen Brown, who are both, you know, recovering. I don't even know if they have COVID symptoms, but they both tested positive for COVID. So they're in the league's health and safety protocol. Dennis Schroeder was out. Jason Tatum was out. Marcus Smart was also out, which, I mean, I didn't really think anything of it last night when all the other veterans were out. But today we learned that Marcus Smart missed the team flight from Boston to Orlando, and now he's going to be suspended for the final preseason game.
How do you do that?
I think it has to be a choice.
Yeah, like, there's no way that they were just like, all right, guys, like, they missed a head count. They're like, all right, we got everybody.
Kevin! Like, Home Alone, like that right. didn't happen.
No, yeah. that didn't happen, and it had to have been, like, you know, maybe teammates texting Marcus, like, hey, what's up, man? No response, you know? And then, for whatever, like, what was he doing?
I don't know. I don't think we've heard exactly what the reasoning was. I'm sure, you know, he just, I don't know. Like, fell asleep, forgot to set an alarm type of thing, woke up and the team was gone.
And then he just gets to Miami on his own.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe he, I don't know what the
procedures are. Did he fire up the private jet or what?
I don't know. Maybe he, like, I don't know how these teams discipline guys. Like, do they care, like, if you have a flat tire and you just can't make it? Like, they're like, oh, sorry, we're going to suspend you anyways? Or, like, would they, you know, give you like a business class plane ticket?
Maybe a G leaguer.
I don't know.
Maybe a G leaguer. Ain't no way that they're you know, taking off on a plane without Marcus Smart, unless it's voluntary. No,
they got deadlines to meet. Who knows? I don't know. I don't really know. I'm sure they probably could have figured something out to get Marcus Smart on that plane, but it's just not really a big deal. It's a preseason game. He's not even going to be suspended for like a regular season game.
He'll be there for the opener.
So like this is very much like slow news.
Yeah.
You know, day type
of
hilarious stuff coming out. Yeah. All right, Luke. So yeah, NBA season starting this week. This is our last chance to talk about, you know, our predictions for the NBA regular season awards. So we're talking about MVP, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, Sixth Man of the Year, Coach of the Year. We're not going to talk about Executive of the Year. Honestly, it's just really a boring award. Nobody really cares who wins that other than maybe the executives. Luke, let's start with MVP. Who do you have winning the MVP this year?
I mean, we talked about his teammate earlier, Kyrie Irving. If he's out, I don't see why Kevin Durant can't come in and just win MVP solely because I think now he is the best player in the league. I don't see why he can't. You know, he's going to be on the best team in the league. He's Kevin Durant, man. I think that he can easily win this MVP award, and that's who I've got winning it.
So me, I have a repeat. I think it's going to be Nikola Jokic. Obviously won the MVP last year. It is a very, you know, like narrative driven league, obviously, but I think he was very deserving last year. He's going to have to take such a step up because of they're missing Jamal Murray, who's still recovering from the ACL. If the Denver Nuggets are going to be successful at all this year, it's going to rest on the shoulders of two guys, I think, Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. I really think that Jokic even has another level that he can go to. I think Michael Porter Jr., I'll talk more about him in a little bit. Spoiler alert. I think Jokic has a good chance to win the award, you know, once again, and, you know, another back-to-back MVP. We've seen plenty of those, you know, throughout the, you know, the last decade. Obviously, LeBron, Giannis, you know, won back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah.
So, Steph won back-to-back MVPs. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Jokic. I'm pretty I like that pick a lot. What about Rookie of the Year? Who you got?
Not going to overthink it. I'm going Cade Cunningham. Cade is incredible on both sides of the ball. We know that. He's a guy that's going to give, you know, every play effort on both sides of the ball. I really think that's what it's going to come down to for me. You know, I mean, you definitely could make a case for Jalen Green, which I have a feeling I know where you're going.
Okay. All right. Why don't you just tell everybody what I picked? How about we not do that?
Jonathan picked Jalen Green, guys. I didn't know that. Yeah. We didn't discuss this.
We didn't, but.
But I know you, and I know Jalen Green's your boy, and it makes sense. It is a great pick.
I don't know.
But I do think that Cade just cares more in terms of, you know, especially defensively. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. Cade is going to get his on offense. He's a leader. He's, you know, he's going to be able to be something that those guys in the Pistons locker room can rally around. I think Rookie of the Year, I'm not overthinking it. He's number one for a reason.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jalen Green. I think, Cade Cunningham, I think, you know, arguably he has the better roster right now. They're both going to have, you know, the opportunities to like go out and get theirs, but like Jerian Grant is definitely a guy that is very much still going to, you know, go out and get his. I think Killian Hayes is going to have, you know, a better year, this year for them. Jalen Green, I think, is just really motivated to prove that he should have been the number one pick. He's a guy that he's saying like he definitely wants to, you know, come out and be Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to score the ball at a really high level. From day one, he's going to have every opportunity to win Rookie of the Year. I just like Jalen Green. I think he's going to be like the sexy pick, even though that Cade Cunningham is the number one overall pick. I think especially just when you watch their games, Jalen Green is the guy that's going to kind of jump off of the screen. His game is a little bit sexier, if you will. He's got a lot of the athleticism, all the dribble moves. He's going to put some guys in posters this year. And for those reasons, you know, I think – a lot of this, it doesn't always go to the like the best rookie or, you know, the best player in the league, obviously, as we know. A lot of times it's, you know, what's the narrative and what are people talking about and what makes for the better story. So Jalen Green, you know, kind of feeling like he's snubbed as, you know, the number two overall pick. If he puts up, you know, 22, 23 points per game this year, I definitely think it's possible that he wins Rookie of the Year. Who do you have for Most Improved?
Most Improved? I think we got the same guy, I think. I'm going to go Michael Porter Jr. I'm going
first next, all right? No, go ahead.
No, I mean, and obviously, you know, we can piggyback off each other here, but MPJ, I mean, he filled in great you know, alongside Jamal Murray, they really didn't, you know, see a huge downturn in games that they, you know, lost and won. He's incredible. I mean, averaged, what, 20 points a game last year? And then you might be thinking of yourself like, well, you averaged 20 points a game. How much better do you think he's going to get? With Murray out, man, I really do think that he could average 26 a game this year. I think that he is that good. Michael Porter Jr., man, he's something to be, you know, not to be messed with at all. And I think that he's, you know, going to be able to win that MIP this year.
So, yeah, we talked, you know, a few weeks ago about what are some of our, you know, like most interesting storylines heading into the season. Michael Porter Jr. is very much, you know, that for me. I think, you know, he had a pretty significant step up in terms of scoring the basketball, you know, the last few weeks of the regular season without Jamal Murray. Not only is this guy just like a great, great scorer in terms of like just flat out like statistical prowess, like he's able to put the ball in the basket, but he's just so efficient. You know, last year, 44.5% from the 3-point line, shot 54% from the floor, 79% from the free throw line, you know, averaging 19.7 rebounds a game. Like this kid is just such an elite talent, which is, you know, going into, you know, the draft a few years back, you know, he was supposed to be one of the best players in that draft, and then the back issues and, you know, a Clippers team doctor, now we know it basically set out, you know, this kid might not ever play basketball again. I wouldn't draft him. So all these teams pass on him. Clippers passed on him twice, I believe. So, yeah, now he's in Denver, and I think he's going to ball out without Jamal Murray. Again, you know, I've got Jokic as my pick to, you know, win MVP. I've got Michael Porter Jr. to be MIP, not because of the improvement that he is going to make, but he's just going to be in so much more of a, like, prominent role there without Jamal Murray. Like, Jamal Murray went crazy in the bubble a couple of summers ago, and that, I think, really put him on the map for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Denver, you know, they've been so good. They have the reigning MVP. They're probably going to be a playoff team again this year. I'm sure they have quite a few nationally televised games. Like, this is going to be Michael Porter Jr.'s coming out party this season. And if Denver is going to be successful, it's going to be because of Jokic, and it's going to be because of Michael Porter Jr. And he's going to have just so much more of an opportunity to showcase his talent. And he's been dying for this kind of opportunity. He's been talking the last 2 years about how he wants to be more of a focal point offensively.
Yeah,
he's not going to have a better opportunity than this. And especially with a guy like Jokic, where if MPJ gets open, he's going to get the ball wherever he needs the ball. So I really like Michael Porter Jr. For most improved player as well. Sixth man of the year, I've got another repeat in Jordan Clarkson. I think Jordan Clarkson just did such a great job, you know, stepping into that role, you know, in Utah. They've basically just kept that team together for the most part. I just think it's hard to pick a guy, like confidently pick a guy outside of Jordan Clarkson. However, I wanted to throw this little nugget in there as an honorable mention. Our guy, Terrence Ross, who we think should have been more in the sixth man of the year conversation back in the 2018-2019 season, where I believe he averaged like 15 a game, something like that. Yeah, 15.1 points per game. If he is with the team like for the entire year this year, he is going to have such an opportunity to just shoot the ball as much as he wants in that second unit, Terrence Ross will. If he can have an efficient year, I could see Terrence, you know, scoring 16, 17 points per game. Now, this is the argument that I'll make. If you took this roster and you put them somewhere like New York or L.A., and Terrence had the kind of season that I'm describing, I think he would absolutely be in the conversation. However, I think because of where we are in Orlando and probably because of how bad the team will be, I don't know if it's possible for him to have a good enough season to end up in that conversation. So give me your MIP pick and then what you think of Terrence Ross's chance. Because right now on Bovada, he's got like top 10 odds. Like he's tied with quite a few guys, plus 2,000. Right now to win sixth man of the year.
So for my sixth man of the year, Jonathan, we're gonna go trivia again. I know you love my trivia here. Okay. So
I like it when I get the question right.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. So only two players have done this to this point, this achievement, and I think that there's going to be a third this year. Two players have won MVP and sixth man of the year in their careers.
You're going to say Derrick Rose.
One of them is James Harden. One's Bill Walton. And I think Derrick Rose can do it this year. I think he can win sixth man of the year.
That's the only guy that's currently in the league that has won an MVP that I think would even be a candidate
right.
for that. So
exactly.
that was kind of an easy. But I would not have I probably would have missed on both of those, because what I thought you were going to say is guys that have won it multiple times, and I was going to say Jamal Crawford, Lou
right.
Williams.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say you picked Jordan Clarkson. Obviously, you didn't. But, yeah, let's hear why you think Derrick Rose.
Yeah. The biggest thing is, man, you look at the Knicks last year. D. Rose goes to New York. When Derrick Rose played, the Knicks were 24-11. Had a near 70% win percentage with Derrick Rose playing. D. Rose shot almost three attempts a game from three. And let's see, he shot 41% from three last year. So he's a guy that has, you know, I'm very happy for D. Rose. I think that he has found kind of his niche there with Tibbs again, and then has found his role coming off the bench as a sixth man, you know, leading that second unit for the Knicks. And like I said, to a 24-11, you know, record, the Knicks are the fourth seed in the East last year. I don't think that the Knicks are the fourth seed in the East last year without Derrick Rose. He's going to give you a 14-15 a game. I mean, D. Rose is still a stud to me, and I don't see why he couldn't win sixth man of the year this year.
They made one addition to that team that I think is going to take a little bit from Derrick Rose's statistical input, and you're not going to like what the name I'm about to say. Evan Fournier.
Frenchie. Yeah.
Evan Frenchie. That's not a very nice term there, but I'm just kidding. that's not a bad pick at all, but I do think Evan is going to shine in the Big Apple. We'll see. All right, defensive player of the year, who do you have?
Going back to the well, not last year's Depoy, but year before that there, Rudy Gobert. There's another one. I'm not a big guy. I'm not a big overthinker. And I think Rudy Gobert, I mean, anytime you have a guy that's going to give you, almost three blocks a game, 10 defensive rebounds a game, he's going to be in that conversation every year. His offensive game is a whole other story that I cannot stand. But defensively, I think it's a safe pick. And I just think that's a pick that, you know, I can depend on Rudy will be in the, you know, at least the final conversations near the end of the year.
So I have a guy who it seems like is in the conversation each year, but has just never really been able to get it done. I've got Anthony Davis. Part of that is kind of the, I guess, air quotes, commitment that we've gotten from him that he's going to play more at the five. If that's the case and he's closer to the rim, you know, like Rudy Gobert, last year, 2.7 blocks per game, you know, one defensive player of the year. I think that Anthony Davis can get to that level. A couple of years ago when we saw Jonathan Isaac go out on New Year's Day, it was him and Anthony Davis basically leading the league in blocks per game around that time. Like our boy Jonathan Isaac, and this is what I'll say, I would have picked Jonathan Isaac if he wasn't coming off of an ACL injury.
Right.
Like, I think this is the last year where he's not a favorite to win defensive player of the year if he stays healthy. Even coming off of the ACL, if he's able to play 60-plus games, I still think he makes either a first or second all NBA defensive team. I'll go out and say that right now. I think if Jonathan Isaac can play 60-plus games, he will absolutely make a defensive team. But without playing 82 games, I don't think he's going to be all the way back. Usually it takes a year to get back from that ACL once you've actually started playing again. I think Anthony Davis, I think the Lakers are going to look to reestablish that defensive identity that they had a couple of years ago that took them to win, NBA championship. And I think they're going to look to Anthony Davis to really anchor that. Obviously, you got Russell Westbrook, who's still, a great defender. LeBron James, who can still give you, great defense in spurts and stretches. They've got a few other guys. But I think Anthony Davis is really going to, look to, anchor that defense. And I think he has a real shot to win Depoy. Last but not least, who's your coach of the year?
So I'm going to go with my coach of the year pick with a guy that I think is going to benefit a lot from who I believe to be the runner-up at MVP. this year, and that is going to be Jason Kidd. I think Jason Kidd can kind of, you know, right the ship this year. And in terms of his coaching career, can I help
Jason
you?
Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
And Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I think that the Mavericks last year, they start, and it's not because I think Jason Kidd is an extraordinary coach.
We went from literally praising God when he got hired by the Dallas Mavericks, and now he's your coach of the year. Why didn't you want him to coach the Magic?
Because he's not going to do any. It has less to do with Jason Kidd himself and more to do with the fact that the Mavs had a rough start to the year last year with COVID protocols, things like that. They get right. They finish fifth in the West. I think they could be a top four team in the West this year. Luka Doncic, I think, is going to take what people don't even think is possible and taking another step. And I think that he'll be runner-up for MVP this year. And I think that Jason Kidd is going to reap the benefits of having just a really talented team that he's getting to coach. And, you know, he's got an under 500 record right now. And I think that is going to vastly change coming this year with the Mavericks. And I think that Jason Kidd's going to win Coach of the Year.
We will see, my boy. We will definitely see. Did you see the image, like the side-by-side of Luka at Media Day last year and Luka Media Day this year? Like how much, like, in much better shape he is this year?
Yeah.
So, like...
And then below it, you put Zion Williamson's last year Media Day and this year's Media Day.
I think that was the photo you're talking about. I think that was his 2019 media day.
Mm.
But still, yeah, it's a pretty stark comparison.
Yeah.
He's been enjoying that New Orleans gumbo for a fact. But yeah, Luka, I agree. I do think he has even another level that he can get to. This is going to be, what, his fourth season in the NBA now? I think Luka has the opportunity to make another leap.
Yeah, like I was very close to having him as MVP.
Yeah,
Luka is just incredible. Luka magic. So he averaging 28 a game basically his last two seasons. Last year, if you look at it, he's averaged almost 28, 8 rebounds, almost 9 assists. You know, shooting 35% from 3 on 8.3 attempts. He's just insane, man. And I would be super happy for Luka if he is able to win the MVP award this year. More happy than I would be for Jason Kidd, who's got some character questions, if he won Coach of the Year this year.
Yeah. My Coach of the Year, and I just realized that I gave the Western Conference like a clean sweep on all the regular season awards. I'm going very Nuggets heavy. I feel like Michael Malone is the guy who's been in Coach of the Year, you know, discussions, you know, the past few seasons. If Denver, is able to beat, like you said, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, if they're able to be like a top four seed, if the Nuggets finish as like a top four, maybe even as like a top five seed without Jamal Murray for most of the year, I really feel like Michael Malone is going to have a great chance to win Coach of the Year. Yeah. I have Nikola Jokic to be my MVP, Michael Porter Jr. to be the most improved player. So those guys both having stellar years. If those guys both have stellar years, the Nuggets are going to be very good with or without Jamal Murray. And if that team is really, really good. Again, we always talk about narratives and, you know, a Denver Nuggets team in a very tough competitive Western Conference without arguably their second best player in Jamal Murray. If they're able to secure home court advantage, in the first round of the playoffs, you know, like you would have a tough time not involving Michael Malone in the Coach of the Year conversations. A lot of people are picking guys, Monty Williams, which, you know, I definitely think he has a great shot as well. Could have won it last year. Absolutely. You know, Thibodeau was very deserving also.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of go outside of the box with my Coach of the Year pick. So as you did as well, I will definitely hand it to you. I was not expecting you to go the Jason Kidd route. So, all right, Luke, how did you do last week with your college bets? What action we got this week?
Last week was terrible, so we won't spend much time on it. I went 0-1-1. Ole Miss did not cover as far as the Arkansas game there. It was an exciting finish, great finish. And then Iowa, I had the -3 against Penn State, and Iowa was down big and stormed back and actually won by exactly 3. So we had a push, a good old-fashioned push there. So my college record now is 6-6-2. And then for this week, I switched up and put my picks on my phone this week. Let's see. So for this week, we've got Kentucky is playing Georgia, both teams 5-0. And Kentucky is plus 22.5 against Georgia. Now, there's reason to believe Georgia can definitely cover this spread, but my college picks this week are very simple. I think that is a huge number that I'm willing to roll the dice on, plus 22.5, in the event that Kentucky is better than Vegas thinks that they are. Kentucky's defense is very solid. They've been surprising a lot of teams. They beat my Florida Gators a couple weeks back, and I think that they can cover that plus 22.5. Now, the other one, Jonathan, has a lot to do with logic as well and just what I see. You will never see this over-under in an NFL game ever. The over-under is set at 82 for Ole Miss versus Tennessee. Both a couple offenses who have, you know, high-powered offenses, right? Much like Georgia can cover the spread, they could hit the over. But I'm just going to play the numbers game here, Jonathan. I'm taking the under 82. I mean, that's a lot of numbers that I can play with, that I have margin with 82 points in that game. Like I said, I know they can get there, but both these picks for me are just strictly, you know, kind of logic and what numbers and stats say. I'm going Kentucky plus 22.5 and under 82 in Ole Miss, Tennessee.
All right, so I'll take it from here. We'll go a little bit back to the NFL. So last week I actually did pretty well. So I had, you know, a couple of wild parlays that I always talk myself into. Those never work out, but I don't really count those. Right. I've been like really, really teaser happy lately. So I had, the Rams and the Packers, you know, both teased 6 points. So Rams plus 3 at Seattle, Packers plus 3 at Cincinnati. They both covered. I felt really good about, I ran another Jersey teaser this week. I had the Jets and the Giants 6 point teaser. Jets plus 9 at Atlanta, had the Giants plus 13 at Dallas. I felt really good about that until Saquon Barkley sprained his ankle, and then Daniel Jones looked like he was just in the ring with Tyson Fury for about 17 hours straight, just getting punched in the face. Couldn't walk, spit bubbles coming out of his mouth after a hard hit at the goal line, was concussed, left the game, and then, you know, I knew in order for the Giants to have a chance in this game, they were going to have to score a lot of points. As soon as Daniel Jones and Barkley went out of the game, and then Kenny Golladay went out of the game, I think at halftime, I knew that bet was completely toast. Then I had another 6 point teaser, 49ers at the Cardinals, plus 10.5, Buffalo Bills plus 9 at the Kansas City Chiefs. That covered for me as well. And then the last teaser that I had on the weekend, another 6 point teaser, I had the Chargers plus 4 at home against the Browns. And then I had the Baltimore Ravens minus 1 at home against the Colts. Everyone knows they were down big in that game, came all the way back, won that game in overtime. I really had to sweat that one out. Shouts out to Rodrigo Blankenship for missing that kick. That was really, really clutch. Luke called that in real time that he was going to miss that kick.
He's a Georgia Bulldog. You can't trust those.
Yeah, exactly. So, came through clutch. And, so I think I was like 4 for 5 on the week with my teasers. And I'm really, you know, since I've been doing the teasers, it's just like you get really good odds. You know, it's like $25 to win almost $21. And I just pick, you know, like the, you know, 7 or 8 games that I think I have a real shot, you know, of hitting on. So this week, 7 point teaser, Bengals plus 3 at Detroit. And then I've got that paired with the Jaguars plus 10 at home against the Dolphins. All of these are 6 point teasers, I believe. Chargers at the Baltimore Ravens plus 9. Rams minus 3.5 at the New York Giants. Looks like Daniel Jones is going to play this week. He practiced today coming back from that concussion. Last week I told myself if Daniel Jones does not play, I don't care what the line is, I'm taking the Rams. Like initially they were, I think right now they're still like minus 10.5, and I would still be all over that. You could tell me it was minus 14. I would still take the Rams. Mike Glennon as our starting quarterback, there's no way we're going to keep up with the Rams. And then I've got the Bills minus 6 at the Tennessee Titans. What about you, Luke? What's going on with your NFL action this week?
I don't think that we touched any of the same games.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think we did. And I've only got two, as I've been doing pretty steadily here, with two with college, two with NFL. My first one, mine aren't T's, mine are just, you know, the your straight lines here. I've got Green Bay minus 4.5 at the Bears. Reason for this being, when it comes to NFL, I'm very stats driven, you know, against the spread, straight up, those type of statistics. Matt LaFleur is 4-0 straight up and against the spread against the Chicago Bears since he took over in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is 10-3 straight up and against the spread when playing in Chicago. So for me, that's really all I needed to see. I think that Green Bay should be favored by a little bit more here. I would be comfortable taking them even at minus 6 against the Bears. I really do like Green Bay in this position. And then my next one is Steelers minus 5 against the Seahawks. Geno Smith, you know, obviously looked good last week after Russell's injury, but things to remember here, Steelers now had a full week to prepare for Geno Smith. And, you know, I think that they can really throw him off this weekend. And Seahawks defense, they're terrible. And on the road, in their last nine, the Seahawks are 2-7 against the spread. So give me the Steelers in this one, minus 5, and Green Bay minus 4.5 in Chicago.
I think the most interesting thing out of everything that you just said was when you mentioned that Aaron Rodgers is 10-3 in Chicago, which tells you that Aaron Rodgers has been playing starting quarterback for the Packers for 13 years now, which just seems crazy. Like, it does not feel that long. And 13 years to do anything is a really, really, really long time. But I like those picks. I definitely think, like, Geno Smith is not a good quarterback. I've seen him in action for my New York Giants. Thanks to Ben McAdoo, Geno Smith was the quarterback that stepped in, that, you know, basically put to rest, you know, Eli's record of consecutive NFL starts. So, yeah, thanks to Ben McAdoo for that. It was not Geno Smith's fault. But yeah, Geno Smith is just not a good quarterback. He got hot last week. I'll give that to him. He looked really, really good, especially in the first couple series for the Seahawks. But yeah, and then Juju Smith-Schuster out for the year. That's pretty crazy as well.
Yeah.
Going to look for Claypool and Deontay Johnson really to pop up. I don't have either of those guys in fantasy, but if I'm looking at some DFS stuff, that'd be pretty interesting to look at there. So, Luke, I don't have anything else for us this week. The NBA season is starting this week. I've got NFL on the brain. Really, really excited. Yeah, if you guys haven't checked out our Patreon, please do so. That's growing, you know, pretty significantly. I'm going to go ahead and shout out our patrons. We don't have any new patrons this week, unfortunately. If you would like to join the Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. But shout out to Zico, Keith Garcia, Armin, Drew Gooden, and Court Cousins. Really appreciate your guys' support. It means a lot. If you guys want to be shouted out on each of our podcast episodes, go ahead and subscribe to you know, either our $5 or $10 patron level. Really, really appreciate that. But for Luke Sylvia, this is Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to Shoot the Shot, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.